So over the last few weeks, we have been talking and teaching about the works of Christ. The works of Christ. We started 4 weeks ago, and we talked about the triumphal entry. And many of you know that story where Jesus entered into Jerusalem. And we talked about what that signified for the church. He entered into Jerusalem on a colt. And the people cried out and sang, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And they made a proclamation of him being the Messiah. And it was the right proclamation. Shortly after, that same crowd begins to cry out, "Crucify him." We talked about that. The week after was Easter week. And Pastor Minor brought us a beautiful sermon on the resurrection and what that meant and signified, how the resurrection affects our past, our present, and our future. Last week, we spoke about the post-resurrected Jesus of John chapter 21, of when he met the disciples on the shore and what that meant for them, and that the resurrected Jesus brings restoration and brings strength and hope. And we talked about that. And today, we want to finish our last teaching right now on the works of Christ. And Lord willing, next month, we're going to go into the works of the church. But for now, today we want to finish on the works of Christ. And we want to talk about the ascension, when Jesus ascended into heaven. Acts chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. After his sufferings, he presented himself to them and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Father, we thank you, Lord, for the teaching of your word. I pray, Lord, today that as we share this teaching, Lord, that it would open our hearts to remember you, remember your works, and that the applicational points would minister to us, that we can walk this life with victory, knowing, Lord God, that you are victorious. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So today we want to speak on the theme, the ascension, as our last teaching on the works of Christ, the ascension. As I shared with you in the past sermons, after the resurrection, Jesus was on the earth for 40 days. During those 40 days, he periodically would reveal himself to the disciples, individually, at times in groups. He would reveal himself to others, and the Bible says that he revealed himself to more than 500 during those 40 days. After those 40 days is where we find ourselves in our Bible reading here today, where they had gathered and he had given them the last commandment and he had reminded them of their call and their commissioning. And right before their eyes is what the scripture teaches us. He began to float into the sky. Right before their eyes, he began to go into the clouds. And the Bible says that he disappeared in the clouds. And we know that as a teaching of the ascension, the work of Christ, the ascension. Very important for us. In fact, we read it in Acts. But Luke also writes the same story in Luke 24, verses 50 to 53. And I want to read it for you there, where he says, "When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he led them and was taken. He left them and was taken into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God."
So the disciples here, they had this experience where they saw Jesus rise into the clouds and disappear. Two men came along their side and said, the same Jesus that you have seen rise, one day will return again. And then for the next 10 days, we know this story as well, that the disciples went to the upper room and they began to pray for 10 days. And they prayed until Pentecost, the 50th day after the resurrection. 40 days of Jesus periodically revealing himself to them. And then 10 days they prayed and they waited for the promise to come. Now, they did not know what that promise would look like. They did not understand. Jesus only told them, one like me will return and he will be your comforter and he will empower you and he will reveal things to you. But they didn't know exactly how that would look. In fact, perhaps they thought as one rise to the clouds, one would descend. But we know the story of the day of Pentecost. While they were praying, the Bible says that the Lord sent his Holy Spirit like tongues of fire upon all the disciples and they began to speak in other languages. And at that moment, it was an experience of empowerment for them. And in the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about the day of Pentecost. But the ascension is also essential to our work. And it's interesting, many don't give attention to the ascension, right? As its place in the work of Christ. But the ascension is essential to our faith. In fact, there is an author who writes, after the resurrection, Jesus taught his disciples about God's kingdom for 40 days. And then he was taken up. And he writes, the cross and the empty tomb are the very heart of the gospel message. But, he says, as evangelicals, we must remember that the ascension is equally important to us as one of the works of Christ. One preacher said this, but it is important to know that the story of Jesus began with the Son of God being born of a virgin, descending to earth, and in its end with the Son of God being born from the dead, ascending to heaven. The story of human Jesus began with the incarnation and ends with the exhortation, begins with expectation and ends with consummation. The story begins with hope unrealized and ends with hope fully realized. It begins with a promise and ends with a fulfillment and a new promise. It begins with the praise of angels and it ends with the worship and praise of the people. It's a reminder to us that Jesus came to earth as a baby and then he ascends into heaven as our victorious Savior. So I hope today that the teaching of the ascension would minister to us. That it would affirm our faith a little bit more. That it would draw us to appreciate this particular work of Christ. So today I have five reminders for us. Five observations and reminders for us this morning with regard to the ascension. And then at the end of the sermon, I just want to bring some points of application to our lives. So quickly this morning, five reminders with regard to the ascension. The first one is the ascension reminds us that Jesus' reign is eternal. The ascension reminds us that Jesus' reign is eternal. The ascension to heaven reminds us that Jesus has no end. What began in the manger in Bethlehem ended with his return into heaven. It signifies the end of his earthly ministry. It signifies his successful earthly work that he had finished and accomplished all that he was called to do, and now he reigns with the Father forever. The ascension reminds us that Jesus' reign is eternal. It's an affirmation to us that Jesus' kingdom cannot be destroyed, and it will not pass away. In fact, Revelation 3:21 says, Jesus conquered and sat down with his Father on his throne where he receives unending praise. So Jesus' ascension reminds us that he has no end. In fact, the Bible teaches us that he goes and he sits at the side of his Father and he reigns there eternally. Jesus will reign at God's right hand, the Bible says, until all his enemies are subdued under his feet. 1 Corinthians 15:25, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. Currently, the Lord Jesus is in heaven, and the scripture frequently pictures him at the right hand of the Father, a position of honor and a position of authority. It is at the right hand of the Father where the Bible teaches us that Jesus is the head of the church, that we are his hands and we are his feet and we have been commissioned by him, but we are led by Jesus. He is the head of the church. Ephesians 4, 7, 8 tells us that from the right hand of the Father, he's the giver of gifts. In fact, the Bible tells us that he fills all the earth. And the Bible reminds us that from the right hand of the Father, he is the mediator between the Father and humanity. Jesus is the mediator for all those who have received him as their Lord and Savior. You see, there is a huge dispute between humanity and the Father because of sin. Sin is described in the Bible as a transgression against the law of God, and it's a rebellion against God. And God hates sin, and sin stands between all of us, and sin stands between us and God. The Bible reminds us that there's not one righteous. No, not one. All human beings are sinners by virtue of sin. We have inherited this from Adam, and we also commit sin on a daily basis. The only just penalty for our sin is death, and not only physical death, but eternal death. In fact, the rightful punishment for sin is an eternity in hell, in suffering. Nothing we could ever do by our own work is sufficient enough to mediate us between ourselves and God the Father. No amount of good work is enough to keep us. There is no law in which we could honor that would be enough to allow us to stand before a holy God. But there is hope. Why is there hope? Because Jesus, he ascended to heaven, and now he stands at the right hand of the Father, and he is the mediator between the Father and humanity. The ascension is important for us to understand because it gives Jesus the victory here, and it allows him to stand by the Father, and he now is our advocate, is what Scripture says. He is our attorney, our lawyer. And he says, no, when you look at them, you look at me. I took their suffering. I took their sin. I paid the price of their penalty. And for that reason, now they can stand before you. He is the mediator between us and God. So when we think about the ascension, we must understand the urgency of it, the essentialness of the ascension, that it is because Jesus ascended to heaven and now takes his rightful place at the right hand of the Father that allows you and I to live this victorious life, sanctified by grace, justified by grace, sinless now before the eyes of the Father because of our mediator in Christ Jesus. And the church says, there's no work that we could ever do to earn this righteousness. There's no law in which we can keep that would allow us to earn this righteousness. It is because Jesus was victorious on the cross through resurrection. And now he ascended to heaven to take his place as a mediator between the Father and a lost world, between the Father and humanity. And now he stands in our place, advocating for us. And because of that, you and I can pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, and he hears our prayers. And he hears our prayers because we have an advocate in Jesus. And the ascension allows us to enjoy this part of our faith. And the church says, amen. The ascension reminds us that Jesus' kingdom is eternal. Number two, the ascension reminds us that Jesus cares for his people. So I love this. Jesus cared for his disciples. He knew that he was about to leave them. I talked a little bit about this in the past sermons as well. He knew that he was about to leave them. He knew that physically he no longer would be walking with them. This caused them hardship for 3.5 years. He had walked with them every single day. He knew that they needed him. He knew that they still didn't understand the whole thing. They didn't get the whole thing. It wasn't until the day of Pentecost when it really sat in with them. They were still a little lost and a little confused. They knew that there was something supernatural that had happened and that was happening. And they knew that there was something about them that was being commissioned. But they didn't get it completely. And Jesus knew that they still did not get it completely. So he cares for them. He knew that they needed to hear the right words and they needed clear direction. So he cares for them. And Luke chapter 24 tells us that when he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. So he knew that they had a sense of need. So before he leaves, he lifts up his hands and he blesses them. Well, what did that mean? What does that blessing signify, right? So something, it was an encouragement. Hold on. Stay focused. The comfort is coming. Something, it was an encouragement, right? Others think that it was a supernatural strength. Kind of a pre to Pentecost. That he would blow on them and give them strength. Others think that it was like a priestly blessing over them. Others think that it was just a reminder to them that they would be victorious. But we know this. We know that he blessed them. And Jesus was letting them know that they would receive power, the comforter, the counselor. So he blesses them and he tells them that they should not go anywhere until they receive the counselor, the comforter, which means one just like me. One just like me. So that encouraged them to know one just like Jesus. I love that in John chapter 14, he preps them for this. And he says, I will not leave you as an orphan. I will come to you, he says. But I tell you the truth, he tells them. It is good for you that I go away. Unless I go away, the comforter will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. He was prepping them for this very moment of the ascension and letting them know it's good for me to ascend because when I ascend, I'm going to send to you the comforter and he will be different than I. He'll be able to dwell with each and every one of you all the days of your life. It's the promise I have for you. I love that in John chapter 14, Jesus tells them, all this I have spoken while still with you, but the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So he was telling them, look, it's good. What's happening right now is good for you because I'm going to go. The Comforter will come and he will teach you all things and he will remind you of all that I have taught you. In fact, in John, Jesus says in John 16, 13, but when he said the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you to all truth. So Jesus was telling them the ascension is essential because it's the way that I'm going to bless you. He cares for them to bless them. We know that he was caring for them, so he empowered them. And I love that Jesus says, and I mentioned this in the last sermons as well, I will be with you always. It was his way of blessing them. Why? Because he cared for them. He says, and surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. In other words, he was telling, you will never, ever be without my presence. I will always be with you. Because in John chapter 13, he tells them, I'm only going to be with you for a little while. And then he tells them, look, hold on. You're not understanding it clearly. Remember, though, when I send the comforter, it means that I will be with you always. The ascension shows us that it was not like Jesus was like saying, oh, I did my job. Now it's time for you to do yours. It wasn't like he was leaving and you're on your own now. No, no. He was letting them know, I'm still going to care for you. He raised his hands and gives them a blessing. And he lets them know, I'm leaving, but what I'm going to send is one just like me. And he will empower you. He will lead you. And he will show you all truth. And that's how I care for you. When you think about an applicational point here, just think about how much Jesus cares for you, that he has sent his Holy Spirit always to lead you, to guide you, and to show you all truth. And the church says. So we're talking about how important the ascension is. Number three, the ascension reminds us that Jesus has all things in order. It reminds us that Jesus, he is the perfect architect. He is the perfect planner. Don't misunderstand him. He does things in order. He knows what he's doing. And I love that in verse 6 we read, Lord, the disciples asked, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus was reminding them that he had a plan. Jesus was reminding them that he had put everything in order. That they just needed to trust him, that he had laid out a plan for them, that he had an agenda for them, that his will would reign on earth even when they did not see his presence, that they just needed to trust him and know that he is still in charge, that he had a plan, that he sets all things in order, and he would send them the help that they needed for the times before them. Jesus reminds them that there is a plan and that the gospel must be preached. And he tells them, and he gives them the plans. He gives them the means. He tells them to disciple, and he tells them to baptize. And then he tells them that you will receive power and strength. He gives them the plan, and he gives them the means. He doesn't tell them, do it on your own. No, he reminds them that he has set all things in order. Although there was a sense of confusion to them, he was letting them know this ascension here is part of the overall plan, and it must occur because things have been set in order. And he was letting them know to trust him. And I love that the Bible tells us, and before the foundation of the world, he chose us, and he predestined us to righteousness, reminding us of his order. And when you read Genesis chapter 1 and you read the creation of the world and how things are done in order, and when you see the salvation plan for humanity and how God dealt with his people throughout the Old Testament and how he created the right time and the right opportunity for the Savior of the world to be born in Bethlehem and to live for 33 and a half years, die on a cross, resurrect 3 days later, 40 days periodically, sitting among his people, ascending to heaven, sending the Holy Spirit, empowering the church, it reminds us that God is a God of order. And the ascension should be a reminder to us that God has all things in order. And the church says, the fourth thing, the ascension reminds us that Jesus will return one day. Verse 9, after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky, and he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand before here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. The ascension is a reminder to us that Jesus will come again. Remember that point there we just finished, planned, everything in order? Jesus will one day come again. The ascension set the pattern for his return. When Jesus comes to set up the kingdom here on earth, he will return as he left, literally, body and visibly in the clouds. In fact, Revelation chapter 1, verse 7 says, look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all people on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. It's a reminder to us that Jesus, as he ascended, he one day will return again. Jesus himself says in Matthew 24, 30, then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and when all the people of the earth will mourn, when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Oh, make no mistake of it. As he ascended, he will descend one day again. And every eye will see him, and every tongue will confess, and every knee will bow, and they will say that he is the Lord. He is the Lord. He will ascend, and when he ascends, he will ascend as king and as judge.
judging the world. As he returns, the Lord Jesus will execute divine judgment, vindicating his people and judging his enemies. Jesus' heavenly reign will one day be fully realized on earth. The Bible tells us this, Revelation 22:3. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. I want to encourage you, as we think of the works of Jesus, the ascension is essential to our faith. This is the very thing we ask for when we say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As the church, we must pray, Lord, come. Lord, come. Our fifth reminder of the ascension. The ascension reminds us that Jesus has commissioned us. That Jesus has commissioned us. There was a new challenge for the disciples. Not to run as they did on the day of crucifixion. But to wait for the promise. Their commissioning had to do with waiting. Their commissioning had to do with making disciples. And their commissioning had to do with baptizing. In fact, an author writes, the ascension marked the passing of the work of evangelism from Jesus to the followers of Jesus. It's at the ascension when he passes the baton and he says, do as I have done. Where he reminds them of the words, as the Father has sent me, I now send you. The ascension is a reminder to us that we have been commissioned. Luke writes, and he says in the former book, in Acts chapter 1, the first verse in my former book, he talks about the works of Jesus. And then in the book of Acts, he talks about the works of the church. We'll get into that in the future sermons. In verse 8, he reminds us of the words of Jesus that he had commissioned us to be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So Jesus passes on the baton. The ascension reminds us that there is a challenge for every follower of Jesus. It's not just about us, but it's about what God wants to do through us, but what he wants to do with us. So today, as we have shared about the ascension, we're reminded that Jesus' reign is eternal. The ascension reminds us that he cares for us. Number three, the ascension reminds us that Jesus has all things in order. The ascension reminds us that Jesus will return one day. And number five, the ascension reminds us that Jesus has commissioned us. A few points of application. I have a number of them. We'll see how they go. Number one, the ascension, because of this, how can we contextualize this teaching? Number one, we can place our trust in Jesus. Today, you and I, although the ascension was 2,000 years ago, today, you and I, we can still place our trust in Jesus. The ascension teaches us that Jesus, he will finish what he started. That we can trust him, we can put our hope in him. He will finish the work that he started in us. In fact, the apostle writes, he who began a good work in us will bring it to completion unto the day of Christ Jesus. The ascension reminds us that he will finish the work that he started in us, and for that reason, we can trust him. That he is faithful to his word. That he is faithful to what he has said. Perhaps you're here today and you're dealing with some issues in your own life and you feel far from God. And you feel that you have been you've aligned yourself in places where you wish that you weren't, and you're living a life that you wish that you haven't been living. I want to tell you today, you can put your trust in Christ. He is victorious, and he will not fail you. The Bible says that salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name unto heaven given by mankind by which we must be saved. You can trust Jesus. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Put your faith in him. The ascension shows us that we can trust him, that what he starts, he finishes. You need something started in your life and you haven't been able to finish it.
put your life in Christ's hands. What he starts, he can finish. And the church says, what else can we learn from the ascension? How can we contextualize it for ourselves? Number two, he cares for us. He cares for you. He cares for me. Like he cared for the disciples, he will care for us. And he will help you. And he will help me. He blesses us through his word. And he blesses us with his spirit. And he leads us and he helps us. The ascension reminds us that he raised his hands and he blessed his disciples because he was concerned for them. He was worried that they would run like they ran on the day of the crucifixion. And he would tell them, no, hang tight. It's going to be okay. He cared for them. I want to remind you that he cares for you. He cares for the things that you care for. The things that are close to your heart, they're close to God's heart. And the petitions that are near and dear to you, they're near and dear to him as well. And he cares for your life and your home and your family and your children and your grandchildren. And he cares for your every day. And he raises his hands to bless us. Every day. Why? Because he cares for us. Peter tells us, cast our anxieties upon him because he cares for us. He's attentive to us. The ascension reminds us of this. And it reminds us today that he's attentive to our very need. For the disciples, the need was insecurity, unsure what would be next. Maybe you're dealing with some particular needs in your life. I remind you today that Jesus cares for you. Number three, applicational point. We must be ready. Jesus, he's coming again. And we must be ready. I wish that I could say that he's going to come in my lifetime. But I can't say that for sure. Every generation after Jesus has thought that this was the last generation. This generation says he is the last generation. I don't know if it is. I don't know if it's not. But I want to live my life like he's coming today. And I want to live my life like he's not coming in my lifetime. How beautiful would it be to live a long life and be a soldier for Jesus all the days of your life. To represent him the best that we can. But whether he comes today or he doesn't come in our lifetime, we must live a life knowing that he is coming. And we must be ready. The Bible says no one knows the day or the hour. The Bible says that he will come like a thief in the night. The Bible says that there were two working in the field. One was taken away and the other was left behind. It's a reminder to us that he will come. And if we're not careful, we will stay behind. We must live our life like our lamps are full of oil, attentive for the groom, knowing that he is on the way. And what is our motive for Jesus to come? What is our motive? Why do we want Jesus to come? I remember before I got married, I used to say, Lord, don't come after I'm married. Right? What is our motive for Jesus to come? Why do we want Jesus to come? So that he can rescue us from this world of depravity and sin and shame? Is that why we want Jesus? So that he could save our children from this world? I hope that that would not be our motive. This world sharpens our love for Jesus. As we live this world, it reminds us of his glory and how awesome it is to know him. So that should not be our motive. What is our motive? Our motive is, I just want to see my Savior. I just want to gaze in his eyes and see Jesus. And see Jesus. Some points of application for us. Number three, we must be ready. Number four, Jesus was victorious, so we will be victorious as well. And as we sang the song today, just bless me. In Christ, you will overcome sin and Satan. Because Jesus was victorious and he overcame sin and Satan, so we will as well. Because Jesus was victorious and he ascended to heaven, you and I are victorious. And we can overcome sin and we can overcome Satan. The ascension teaches us that we are not defeated people, that we are victorious people. John writes, I have told you these things so that you may have peace in this world. You will have trouble, but take heart. Jesus says, I have overcome the world. Letting us know that we are victorious people. Revelation 3:21 says, to the one who is victorious,
I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I, Jesus speaking, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. 1 John 5:4, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. The ascension reminds us that because Jesus is victorious, we also are victorious. Last point of observation, of application this morning, that we have been commissioned, that we would just not live this faith out coming to church on Sunday, but that the Lord has commissioned us. The ascension reminds us that the Lord has commissioned us, that Jesus ascended to heaven and he commissioned the church. He commissioned the disciples and he commissioned you and I, that he commissioned us. That we would not think that our faith is simply about us getting filled with our own faith and just eating of our own faith and just sitting at the table and consuming. No, that we would know that there has been a commissioning given to the church, you and I, and the ascension reminds us and affirms us. And Jesus gives us the plan and he gives us the means. The plan to go into the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the means, I will not leave you orphans, but in a little while I will send you the Comforter who will lead you in all truth and empower you in the things that you need. So he gives us the plan and he gives us the means. Let us know that there is a charge giving to the church. You know, during these days I've just been praying and I've been saying, Lord, perhaps it's COVID, perhaps it's the changes that the church has had to force its way through, but I'm not seeing people come to Jesus like we were before, and we're not seeing people saying the prayer of faith like before, that the fire would be lit within the church again, that we would know that COVID doesn't impede the will of God, the power of God, the plan of God. No, that we would know that this system that wants to reform the way the church functioned for all these years, that it would not take its hold in us. That it would not change the plan of the church. And as I just meditated this week, I said, Lord, give us a passion to lift the name of Jesus on high. Because the Bible says when the name of Jesus is lifted on high, he will draw all men unto him. That as a church, that we would be reminded that the ascension commissioned us and tells us that we have received the baton from Jesus. Just as the Father sent him, he now sends us. And the church says, as I close our teaching today, I want to remind you, as we close up this teaching on the works of Christ, the ascension is essential to our faith. It's essential. It reminds us that Jesus' reign is eternal. I love that. It's eternal. It didn't come to an end. He fulfilled and accomplished all that he came to do for 33 and a half years. And now he ascends to the right hand of the Father and he functions as the mediator for the church. And it's from there where he leads the church as the head of the church. And he there represents us. It reminds us that he cares for us. He blesses us. It reminds us that he has all things in order. He's organized. He's the perfect architect. That he will return one day. Just like he ascended, he will descend. And that he has commissioned the church. So let's put our trust in him, reminding that he has not forsaken us but cares for us. Let us be ready, because one day the trumpet will sound and the church will be lifted up and we will find ourselves with Jesus in the clouds, because we are a victorious people and we have a mediator in Christ Jesus who has commissioned us. The ascension is essential to our faith, and the church says,
thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.